Just as the gospel is for Jew and Gentile, so the blindness is for Jew and Gentile. Anyone who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been blinded from seeing Jesus. And what God uses to remove that blindness is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So when you and I are walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit, and we go with His prompting as He is building a bride for Jesus. I'm not talking about listening for the Holy Spirit to tell us how to be healthier or how to be more wealthy, how to be more successful. That isn't what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world today. Jesus said, when I send the Holy Spirit, He will speak of me. He will exalt me. And He will draw people to me. And of course, Revelation 22, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let he that drinks say, come. And let he that is thirsty come. Did you get that? The Spirit and the bride say, be reconciled to God. The Spirit and the bride say, come to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. And we do this together, and it is a tremendous privilege. I probably told you last time we were here, because it's been about 3.5 years ago since this Chinese lady met Lena. As a matter of fact, one day our first Chinese convert wanted to go to lunch with Lena, so Lena told me, and I said, hey, wait a minute, let me get the gift card. Somebody just gave me a gift card to one of the Chinese restaurants in town, and I said, use this, won't cost anything, y'all will have a great time. And so they went there, and when the server came out, she introduced the server to my wife. And as soon as the server met Lena, she said, may I come to your church learn about Jesus? And Lena said, yeah. You know, she'd have said no, she'd have gotten in trouble. But she wouldn't do that. But Lena said, yes, you can come to my church and learn about Jesus. So then it became Sunday morning church. Then our MO is this: find out what day the person has off work, and if they don't have off work, then schedule a night time. Oftentimes, we're teaching the Bible to these people literally at midnight. So Lena began meeting on every Tuesday and reading through the Gospel of John in a dual translation Chinese-English Bible. And after the fifth appointment, the method is to help them with their English by helping them read through the English part and pronounce the words correctly. But many of the words, they don't know what they mean until they go over to the next column and read it out loud in Chinese. And so that's when reading either the story of the woman at the well or something in John chapter 5, she just stopped and she looked up and said, Lena, Jesus, same as God. And Lena's like, yeah, that's it. I think the veil just got lifted because she realized that Jesus is the Son of God. But as is the case in every one of those instances, we always need a Chinese-speaking, godly person to help us discern what's going on in that person's heart, because we don't understand their culture and we don't really speak the language, certainly not theological terms. And so every time God provides us with someone comes along into our church or into our ministry circle, as in this case, a Chinese grandmother who was also a Bible teacher came back to Fairbanks. Ironically, when she was there 10 months previous, she led to Christ. Then when she comes back 10 months later to see her new grandbaby, she led her to Christ. And then these people follow the Lord in baptism. Unfortunately, most of them don't stick around very long. They move from job to job. They love to travel and they want to go to different places. And that's a glorious thing when God allows us to be with someone when the light comes on and when they see Jesus for the first time through the eyes of faith. That is wonderful. So that is what I call the inspiration of the ministry of reconciliation. The inspiration for this ministry is it is Spirit-led. Therefore, we will not manipulate people to make a decision that they don't want to make. And even when people want to make a decision for Christ, especially our Asian friends who always want to give back, They always want to reciprocate. They always want to show gratitude and honor. So there's a great danger that they might make a decision to please us and thank us as opposed for Christ. It must be for Christ. That's why we need the Chinese grandmothers to help us discern what they're thinking and what their motive is. That's why we need the Chinese godly people. And over and over, the Lord sends them to us. I can't count the number of times that they've come into our ministry circle. The removal of the veil. And who does that? The Holy Spirit does that. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And the Bible even says, verse 16 of chapter 3, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." The word "it" refers to the heart of Israel. That's a narrow application, but it has a broader implication. And here it is. When any heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. But how can that heart turn to the Lord apart from the Spirit of God? It cannot. Verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit." Why does Paul say that? Paul says the Lord is that Spirit because he's pointing out that when the heart turns to the Lord by faith, it's the Spirit of God that does the work. And he says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In other words, people are set free from bondage and blindness when the Spirit of God turns their heart to Jesus Christ in faith. And so the inspiration for this ministry, and I use the word inspiration in the same way Paul did when he said all Scripture is given by inspiration. The inspiration for this ministry of reconciliation is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Then the motivation for this ministry is in verse 1 of chapter 4. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," what ministry? The ministry of partnering, listen, isn't this great? The ministry of partnering with the Holy Spirit to remove the veil from blind people so they can see. There's no greater task. There's no greater joy. And it's no wonder John used those words when he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Because, you know, when you help somebody come to Jesus, they are like your children. And we refer, Lena and I refer to these people, not anybody, not just Asian people, but Americans. We don't care what country they're from. And we have Americans at home right now ready to trust the Lord as Savior as soon as we get back. And we're hoping they trust the Lord before we even get back home. But when people do that, they become endeared to you. They become like grafted into your heart when you lead someone to Christ. And so you have a special love for them. But I will say that it means a lot to people from cruel communist cultures when they know that you love them unconditionally and you refer to that and you say to them, "My son in the faith," or "My daughter in the faith," "My loved one in Jesus." When you talk to them like that, they soak it up like a dry sponge because of the culture they come from. So that's the motivation for ministry, is that we get to be partners with God in this work of reconciliation. The consecration of this ministry is in verse 2. Paul says, we're not going to quit. We're motivated. We faint not. We're not disheartened, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And now Paul is saying these things. Sometimes you read that and you're like, what has that got to do with the ministry of reconciliation? Well, he's answering the false teachers. He's contrasting his testimony against theirs. And you and I should be able to do the same. We should be able to contrast the life that we're living, and it should be a contrast of great difference when put up against the world or against false teachers. He says, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, you want me to just summarize verse 2? Paul says, we validate the gospel by living it. We practice what we preach. And when we do that, the person we're ministering to, even if they don't believe, they are forced to admit that person practices what they believe. That person is consistent. So in their conscience, they are commending us, and they have to agree with that one point, even if they don't yet see that Jesus Christ is Lord. They see that this person means business. We didn't realize that early on, working with the Asian people, I try and treat my wife with tenderness and treat her like a lady in private as well as in public. I know I have a long ways to go. Especially the older we get, I frequently jump up and help her with her chair at the dinner table, and not thinking about the fact that we've got 15 Asian people throughout the house eating with us, and we never realized early on that they're watching. And then when we get ready to go somewhere with them, let's say we're walking from our house to the church, which is very close, thank goodness, because, you know, 40 below, that helps. You know what I mean? You don't freeze like this before you get there. But if we're going to all transfer to the church, let's say we've had the meal at our house, and now we're going to go to the church and do some things, maybe a worship time or whatever, which we do in our living room as well. But sometimes we transfer to the church, and I'll just, without thinking, grab my wife's coat and help my wife put on her coat. And it wasn't until 2 or 3 years of this and a number of people converting to Christ, one young lady put it this way. She said, "I didn't believe that true love existed until I saw that." And when these people realize that the love of God gives you love for each other, that validates the gospel in their minds. And it really creates a platform for telling them why we are this way. And I guess that would apply to anyone from any nation. So that's the consecration of this ministry. We don't have to compromise. God doesn't need compromisers to win people to Christ. God just needs consecrated people, you know? God just needs somebody who will say, "Lord, it's been a long time since I've been able to tell somebody about Jesus. Would you please give me somebody?" This is the prayer that will be answered the fastest in your entire life. And the reason is, when Jesus said, "Ask anything in my name," he didn't mean demand health, wealth, and prosperity in the name of Jesus and you're going to get it. Praying in the name of Jesus is praying in the direction that the Lord Jesus is moving. And what direction is that? The Holy Spirit is gathering a bride for Jesus in the world right now. And when we say to the Lord, "I want to help. I want to be an ambassador. I want to participate in the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, would you let me tell somebody about Jesus this week?" And man, I preach this at Tri-City in missions conference, and the very next night, this Hispanic family that were faithful members of the church came up to me before the service started, and they were all gathered around the mom, the dad, the teenagers, and they were all excited because they took that challenge and they prayed that prayer, and someone called them out of the blue that they had shared the gospel with a long time before, and they hadn't heard from them in a long time, and just called them and said, "I want to hear more. I want to hear the gospel. Will you come talk to me about the Lord? I need the Lord." And so they were just thrilled at this out-of-the-blue phone call right after they prayed that prayer. And God will do the same for you and I when we call unto him and we say, "Lord, I want to be a part of this ministry of reconciliation." The day before Thanksgiving, I prayed that prayer. We haven't had to pray that prayer since this whole Asian ministry thing started. I'm sure I told you about it last time we were here, but March 23 of 16, I boarded a flight for Seattle for Fairbanks. I asked to be moved closer to the front of the aircraft. They let me sit in row 6. But just before I got there, the stewardess went over to 2 Chinese girls and said, "Move to row 6. And they told Lena and I later, they said, "Why must we move? We are comfortable here." And the lady, she would not answer. So they moved to row 6. By the time the flight landed, they wanted to meet Lena. I had shown them pictures of our family, of Alaska. They were coming to Fairbanks to see the aurora on spring break, March 23, 16. So when they saw a picture of Lena, they said, "Your wife's so beautiful. We want to meet her." And I said, "You know Easter Sunday?" And they said, "No, we don't know this one." And I said, "That's this Sunday. You come to our church on Easter, you can meet my wife, and you can have the big Easter dinner with our whole family, 25 people, after the big church service." So they did. And then we shared the gospel with them that night. And then we shared the gospel with them on Monday. Monday night, they're supposed to fly away. And as we were helping them load their luggage at their hotel, and their phones sounded, and they both looked at their phones and said, "Oh, volcano, blow up, all flights canceled." And before they could even get to the counter and get their rooms secured for that night, all rooms were taken. Technology is that way, right? So they lost their room because they didn't have a reservation for that night. We said, "Don't worry." So we took them in, and they stayed with us that night. More gospel. They had a lot of questions, and they finally did leave. They flew back to Seattle to school, but then we learned that one of them, her grandmother, converted to Christ recently and was praying for her granddaughter. When told me that, she said, "I think it's very strange." She's texting from Seattle now, and she says to us, I think it's a miracle, but my grandmother, Buddhist for 60 years, and 2 years ago, she believed in Jesus. And I said, "You just answered all my questions about row 6 and the volcano and having to stay with us." I said, "Your grandma's praying for you. Don't believe me. You call her and you ask her." So she called her grandmother and she said, yes, in Hong Kong. So actually, and her grandmother said, "You tell your hosts to come to Hong Kong and see us, and we will give them the big dinner and they can tell everyone about Jesus." Well, my response was this. I said, "We are not tourists." And I really didn't want to be rude about this, but I'm just as fine looking at Hong Kong on TV as going there. But I said this, if you will help us tell your family about Jesus like we have told you, we will go. And she said, "We can do this." So we did. We went to Hong Kong, big dinner. The grandmother was there. She heard the story of Row 6 and the gospel, and she was thrilled. And her oldest daughter, who had also converted to Christ, was just thrilled to the point of tears. Then the auntie began preaching to the rest of the family in Cantonese. She just took it from me. That was great, well, you know, because no more translation needed, man. This auntie got on fire for God right then and just preached a little revival meeting to her whole family. It gave her great courage. But the ripple effect of Row 6 continues to this day in the sense that God keeps bringing us people as a result of going there, and we've been back 2 more times and have seen people saved there and people saved and baptized in Fairbanks. But here's how it happens. Every 2 to 3 weeks for 5.5 years, God brings people to us as a result of Row 6. But I realized the day before Thanksgiving that this had not happened in a long time. 2 months. Can you imagine going 2 months and not being able to tell anybody about the Lord Jesus? And I started praying about it. I'm running errands through Fairbanks, and I'm praying. I said, "Lord, if you will give us another Chinese person, we will be faithful in sharing the gospel." And 3 hours later, a man in our church named Pat sent me a text, and he said, "Pastor Bruce, I just landed in Fairbanks. I sat next to an Asian lady, and I told her, my pastor and his wife help Asian people a lot. Would you give me your phone number?" I mean, this is hilarious. This guy's my age, right? And he's asking this college girl coming to Fairbanks on Thanksgiving break to what? To see what? The aurora. That's their life dream. That is their life dream. That's why my third book about all these stories is entitled God of the Aurora, and it'll be out in about a month. But it's called The Holy Spirit's Call to the Asian People. And this man said to me, he texted me, "Here's her number." She actually gave me her number. I couldn't believe she did that. And of all things, this girl enrolled at Boston University, flying to see the aurora, but also hungry to know God, to the point that she wanted to go to church in Boston, but she was afraid. She had no clue where to begin. Never been to church before in her life, but hungry for God. And so she came to church with Lena Sunday morning, the Thanksgiving weekend. And she sat there and looked at me like a laser and never took her eyes off me during the whole sermon. And her English is good. And afterwards, she said, "Tonight, I have dinner plans with my tour group. I want to cancel those plans. May I cancel that dinner and come to church tonight and hear more Bible stories?" And she did. And then she said, "I will return to Boston tomorrow." May I come back here for Christmas and stay in this house and hear more Bible stories. So she did. Now, the part I didn't tell you, do you remember who said, Lena, Jesus, same as God. We discipled for about a year, and she moved away to the States, somewhere in Mississippi. When we went to Phoenix, Arizona to preach the missions conference, I said to Lena, let's drive to Tucson and visit our friends Lee and Cindy. We did. We stayed with them overnight. The next day, she and Lena go shopping. I laid out 9 sermon outlines of this series right here. I'm preaching you 9 sermons tonight. And I laid them out across the dining room table to check my outlines and make sure everything was in order. And I saw on one of the outlines to use as an illustration, Lena, Jesus, same as God. And I looked at my phone and I said, oh my, we haven't communicated within 3 months. I don't even know where she is. And I said, hi, we are in Arizona. And immediately she voice chatted back on WeChat. I could tell by the background noise she's driving. And she said, me too. And I said, really? And she goes, very urgently and excitedly, where are you? Where are you? And I said, Tucson. And she goes, me too. She didn't live there. She didn't work there. She was on her way from Dallas to LA because her husband, who had, when she got saved 3 years ago, her husband expressed great interest because he could tell by FaceTime that something different about his wife. And we sent him a Bible. And he expressed at that time he wants to become a Christian. Miraculously, he and the 12-year-old daughter got visas to come to the USA, and they were coming to LA. She was driving from Dallas to LA and got my text as she was entering Tucson, passing through. We were able to have a big reunion dinner with her and hear about the husband and the daughter, and we said these words, you know your husband wants to be saved. Bring your husband and daughter to our house for Christmas. And let's give him the gospel. Not long after that, she texted me, I bought 3 tickets. We're coming to Fairbanks for Christmas. The reason I tell you that and the story of the girl from Boston is because through the Christmas holidays, God is answering my prayer, Lord, send us another one and we'll be faithful. And we were swamped during Christmas break leading people to Christ. Our family the next night had our big Christmas party at our house. So once again, the same 25 people come over. When it came time to open the gifts, thankfully my wife had gotten gifts for all these people as well. And when the party was over, she excused herself early because she had jet lagged, you know, coming all the way from Boston to hear more Bible stories. It'll tire you out, but when you're hungry for God, you don't care. She had gone back to the church to sleep. Everybody left by 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And soon after everyone was gone, here comes tiptoeing up the steps. And they sat down in the living room. So that was our cue. So we sat down in the living room and said these words, my husband wants to do this, not for you, not for me, but for God. And so I gave him what to pray. He didn't repeat a prayer after me. I said, you just tell God you believe Jesus is his son and you want him to be your Lord, your King, your owner, take over your life, and you believe he died for you and rose from the dead. So he prayed. He accepted Christ. They flew out Christmas Day, Saturday. And by Monday night, she had heard the gospel a lot. And I took her through the entire exchange Bible study by the Musgraves. And she totally got it. And Tuesday morning, she came upstairs to eat brunch with us. And we're sitting there at the table. And she leans forward, talked very softly, and she said, may I do the baptize? By the way, she had seen her husband baptized in our Christmas Eve service. So you know our church loves this stuff, right? They can't get enough of it. Neither can we. She said, may I do the baptize? I said, well, you know how we told you that this one is for people who already believe in Jesus and have prayed to Jesus. And she said, I did. I said, really? And this is so great when people do this on their own, right? And tell you about it. And she said, downstairs last night, very late, I pray and believe in Jesus. And she said, do you only baptize with people there? And I said, yes. When will the people be there next time? I said, Sunday morning. May I do the baptize Sunday morning? I said, yes, you can do the baptize Sunday morning. So she was baptized and went back home to Boston. And she said these words, I think I will find the reason for my existence. And so she went home rejoicing, and we're now in the process of helping her find a good church to go to and become a member of there. But this is the ministry of reconciliation that God gives to all of us. And Paul says we're supposed to say to people in so many words, and sometimes it takes years to build the bridge, but we should all be moving forward in saying to people, I plead with you in the place of Christ, be reconciled to God, because that's the message that Jesus preached to Israel when he was on the earth. And by the way, even to the Gentiles, because when he met the Samaritan woman and she believed, he went into her village and for 2 days he said, be reconciled to God. How? By believing in me, Jesus said. And that's what you and I are to be doing as well. So my challenge tonight is to embrace this ministry of reconciliation. It is an inspiration ministry because we work with the Holy Spirit, and our motivation is we get to partner with God, and our consecration is we don't need to compromise in order to win someone to Christ. And yes, there is opposition against the ministry of reconciliation, but I want to tell you, I've read the last chapter of the book and we win. It doesn't matter what the opposition is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. May we glorify Christ together.